Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. To round off this hour, we're going to spend some time with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, teaching a Sunday school lesson, as usual. Today, Daniel in the Lion's Den, another story of perseverance, of faithfulness, but more than that, of God's faithfulness to his promise to protect his people. And, you know, Daniel could have been killed in that lion's den very easily. He could have lost his life there, and it still would have been God's faithfulness. And yet there is a miracle that takes place, acknowledged eventually by everyone, and it's become one of these hallmark stories that we tell our children. What are we trying to teach them about? And are there parallels here in this famous Sunday school story, Daniel in the Lion's Den, with one who is even more faithful than Daniel himself, our Savior Jesus Christ? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back. Isn't this a fantastic Bible story to talk about?
It really is, and it kind of follows on the heels, of course, of last week's where we were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, their deliverance there, a story about a call to faithfulness and the cost of faithfulness. What does both that story and this story tell us about the cost of faithfulness?
Wow. Well, in both cases, things came out well. They don't always, though. We know that. And I think this verse from Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those are the words of our Lord, and those are words for these men and for us today. We will always, as God's children, have the victory in the end, maybe not this side of heaven, maybe not in this lifetime, but in eternity. And that's what they clung to. They clung to the promise of a Savior from sin, death, and the devil, and they were faithful under persecution. By God's grace, they were faithful, and they are enjoying their heavenly rest, free from all persecution. So it's a easy thing to slip in, and we talked about this last week, to mess up with kids and have them somehow think that as long as you believe hard enough or pray hard enough, you know, God's going to rescue you from every evil in this world. And we know that's just not true. He has already rescued us from all evil, from all sin, and from our greatest enemy, Satan. And he did that on the cross with his son. And that is the victory, and we do have it. And that's got to be the bottom line here and the message through this story. Otherwise, we're going to confuse kids and make them wonder about their Lord and their God.
Set the context here, you know, because some of the changes in the dynasty under which,
yes,
Daniel finds himself may confuse us as well. Not only the names are long, but also it's, you know, there are various kings here. Is this the same king that brought Daniel into exile?
No, there's a change, but it's all part of a period of history here. You know, if you recall, we spoke last week about how King Nebuchadnezzar pulled certain bright young youths from the children of Israel, pulled them out, and sent them to Babylon specifically to train them in the literature and language and the culture of the Chaldeans. Really, a sort of his brainwashing to make them part of his people, to think the way he wanted them to think, and to use their obvious gifts of physical strength and bright minds. And we had Daniel interpreting the king's dreams, and that rose him to power. And then these Babylonians, this king Nebuchadnezzar, lost out to another king, and that's where we are today with this other king, Daniel, able in the transition from Nebuchadnezzar to Darius, the new conqueror, keeping his high position, very high position. This new king puts him over 120 regional governors in Persia. And that's that word in the Bible, satraps. They were the satraps, and he was in charge of them. And he was, the scripture says, distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps. And that's part of what kicks off this event, because the natural-born in of this people said, why is this Jew, this outsider, how come he's getting this high post and position? They're jealous. They're envious. You know, sinful human reaction to another person's getting high position and accolades. And so they plot how to remove or bring down Daniel. And that's how the story begins.
Is it a cautionary tale about for us today about Christians being involved in civil politics?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it provides us an example about being faithful to what we know is right if we're involved in civil politics or anywhere that we're called in our vocations in whatever we do. And that's what we see in this story, that Daniel lived out his calling under this king, and an unbelieving king in an unbelieving nation. He remained faithful to his God, and that comes out very clearly, that he daily said his prayers three times a day, and everyone knew it, and he was very faithful, and his dealings were above board by human standards. He was righteous. He did the right thing all the time from the human point of view, and he lived in this world, and then when he was called to not pray to his God, but to give honor to a false ruler, then he still remained faithful, and he risked. He knew he didn't try to hide his faithfulness. He continued in what he had always done, praying three times to the true God, and trusted that God to be with him and to provide a way out, either a way out in this life or a way out to the next life. And so, cautionary perhaps, but also an example, don't you think, of just being faithful to what we know is right, even though all around us, governments, culture, society would tempt and pull us to do what is wrong.
It's striking, Pam, that, and I think perhaps this is something that would bear what emphasis with the kids, is that Daniel here is not a victim of circumstance. He knows the penalty praying to the true God, and he knows that if he does this, he is very likely to be thrown into that lion's den.
That's right. And, I mean, this was a new law, and it's really amazing how they were able to sway the king and get him on the spot, it seems like, to make this new decree, this new rule that that says that if you don't pray and do this, and if you make petition to any god or man for 30 days except to the king, that's what this was. It was a new decree. For a month, you had to only pray to or honor the king and no other god, no other man. If you didn't do that, the penalty was to be thrown into a lion's den. Now, and then the scripture says it a couple places here, so we don't get confused. It's very clear. It's done in a way that it cannot be changed, because that was the law of the Medes and the Persians. That once a law was put into effect, it could not be revoked. So they get the king to make this almost on the spur of the moment. He falls into this trap, doesn't think it through, proclaims this law, and then they know Daniel's going to be faithful. And Daniel, very clear, because he's high up enough, he's heard the law, he understands it. He continues in the way that he always has, knowing that he could well and good be, and likely would be, arrested and thrown to the lions, trusting his God.
We've got only a minute here. The king himself, this kind of parallels the last story, after Daniel emerges, and we'll talk about his prayer in a moment, but after he emerges safe and sound the next day, the king again acknowledges the true God. Is this a conversion? We've only got a minute before our break.
Well, I think it may be. It wasn't last week the king recognized this God had some power, but here he tells everyone to look to this God. It would seem that it's a conversion, or at least he's pretty close. He's starting to get it, I think. and that's something to think about. We don't hear a whole lot more about him, at least in this story, to know how he reacts. But he makes a pretty big decree about who the people should be looking to after this. So,
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back from this break, we'll continue teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday, November the 16th, talking about Daniel in the lion's den, God's miraculous deliverance. Daniel says he sent an angel, and the angel shut the mouths of the lions. I mean, these are not the kittens I have running around my house at home who want to snuggle up to you. These are ferocious lions that in any other circumstance would have killed them before they hit the ground. And God provides this miraculous protection for Daniel, shutting their mouths so that Daniel can emerge and bear witness to the true God. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. They have a new Sunday school curriculum. It's called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. When you click on demand, you'll find a link to Growing in Christ. When we come back, Daniel says he prayed, and God answered that prayer. We'll find out more about Daniel in the lion's den with Deaconess Pam Nielsen after this.
A great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues, etc. online at issuesetc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Monday afternoon, November the 16th, Daniel in the lion's den. He's not there for long. He's only there for a night, but what a night that must have been. I remember the stories from childhood were always illustrated with Daniel down at the bottom of a pit. We were told that these dens were some sort of a pit and that could perhaps be covered over at night or something like that, and that he was tossed in there if he didn't die from his injuries in the fall. Certainly the lions at the bottom were going to get him. And under other circumstances, they certainly would have. These were hungry lions. What happens? Why does God protect Daniel? Pam, let's talk about how Daniel describes the deliverance. I said before the break that he prayed. He did, in fact, say that he prayed, although if I were falling into a pit full of lions, I'd be praying too. But he says this, and this is in Daniel 6, right near the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
He says, first of all, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. What's he saying there?
Wow. It's quite a statement, isn't it? He's pointing first to where his help comes from, where it came from. His God makes it very clear who is in power here. And he says he's found blameless before him. This doesn't mean that Daniel was sinless. He's blameless because he is God's child. Blameless in the way that you or I could say the same thing, not because of our good lives, but because of our being made righteous because of Christ. Daniel trusted in that promise of that Savior and was found to be righteous by his faith. And so he calls on that. And he points out that even before the king, he's been good. He's been faithful. The king had promoted him. He'd done nothing against the king. And, of course, the king knew that. But he really points him to his God, who sent the angel and shut the lions' mouths. And, there's some interesting parallels here with this story to Psalm 22 and a reference to the lions, which is a psalm that really points to Christ on the cross facing the lions of death for us. And lots of real connections and foreshadowing here, I think, with this story of Daniel and so many things that kind of are repeated with a powerful ruler, knowing that he has an innocent person, but allowing him to suffer this punishment and ultimately death would have been the plan, and both Daniel, Christ, facing that death sentence, and both by the grace of God, Daniel being preserved, and Christ dying and rising to new life over death, conquering death for all of us. You've got the king, you've got the signet ring, you've got the stone being put over the tomb, as it were. That certainly would have been a tomb for Daniel had God not delivered him.
I don't want to allegorize the text, but it's interesting, both in the last story we told, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mm-hmm. thing, and this story, the decree stipulates that whoever disobeys this command to commit idolatry would be thrown into the fiery furnace or thrown into the lion's den. And that certainly, in any other circumstances, would have been a very sure death sentence. I wonder if there's a parallel here, Pam, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel do undergo the decree's punishment, but they're unharmed. Is there a parallel with us, as we Christians, die the wages of sin, but remain unharmed?
Wow. Well, don't we say we die to sin? We enter that watery grave of baptism. We share in Christ's death so that we may share in his life. And that is very true. They weren't kept from the fire or from the lion's den, but they were saved in it and out of it. And we, too, we're washed in that water of baptism. St. Paul says we're buried with Christ in that, and we rise again because of him. And that's a very interesting kind of connect and parallel, and I think it's there, don't you?
Absolutely. There's also something there, Pam, that's pretty troubling, and that is mm-hmm. as the story ends, and I don't know how much you include of this in the little kids' version of the story, but as the story ends, as often happens in these stories, those who have falsely accused Daniel are brought to the lion's den along with their wives and children. That's pretty tough stuff. And tossed in, and it says before they hit the ground, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces.
Yeah.
There's some of that Old Testament graphic violence for you.
Well, there is, and I'm pretty certain, I didn't check this week, but I'm pretty certain at the lower grades, that is probably not even brought up in the story. But for the older children, if it isn't coming out, you know, and they read that, they're going to ask about it. And here we have to understand that these people represented the enemy of God and all that was true. They would have had all of these people turn away from the true God and the false God. And in essence, in that decree that they tricked the king into making, that's exactly what it was, to bow down, to pray to look to someone other than the true God. Our true God doesn't mess around when it comes to his people being led astray, being led away from him. So great is his love for us that he's not going to tolerate that. And these people were taking people away from him. And in the end, how this comes out, in the beautiful thing where the king says, he makes this decree at the end that in all of his royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He does make this, it really is a great statement of faith there at the end. And when you understand the history and the geography of this time, this people, and where they were located, they were the crossroads of the known world. And so the opportunity for the truth about the true God to spread far and wide over against all these false gods that were being held up in this region, God was seeing that the truth got out and that the enemy of that truth was stopped. And those people, those other governors and their families represent that. They were lost already. They had turned from the true God and they weren't going to turn back. And so he's protecting us. He protected us because it's part of our salvation that has been handed down, and God, through all of these events, brought it to the cross, ultimately, for us. And, you know, hard to see, but we got to understand how deep God's love goes, and that's how you present it to the children. This is an act of love for us and for our salvation that he got rid of these people that were so evil.
Next time, what will we be discussing, Pam? About 30 seconds.
Well, we've been talking about kings. Next time, we talk about a righteous queen, Queen Esther. And for me as a deaconess, every time we say the deaconess motto, we remember Queen Esther. And it'll be fun to talk about her and a good lesson for girls in Sunday school amidst all of these kind of guy stories that we've been having.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum. We use it as the basis for our ongoing conversations with Deaconess Nielsen. It's called Growing in Christ. You can even get free samples of Growing in Christ by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or look for Growing in Christ under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pam, look forward to next Monday with you.
I do, too. Have a great week, Pastor.
Daniel does not know. He cannot know for sure. When he violates the king's royal decree, knowing full well that he will probably suffer the punishments that are described there, he does not know when those punishments are being carried out, whether or not he will last the night in the lion's den and survive or be killed and eaten by the lions. He simply doesn't know it. He has no clear promise. He certainly can hope, but he has no clear promise, explicit promise from God that in exchange for the faithfulness that he must render to God, he won't, in fact, be punished and receive the death sentence and have it carried out completely. just think of Daniel being tossed in, and in that short drop to the bottom of the lion's den, he must be thinking to himself, wouldn't you think this is it? But the highlight of this story is not Daniel's faithfulness. Daniel's faithfulness is only the result of a greater faithfulness, and that of his God, who had not only delivered Daniel before, but would bring about the ultimate deliverance of us all through the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ. God is faithful. And all of these stories of the faithfulness of the saints, be they Daniel or anyone else, are there not to show us so much their faithfulness, but the faithfulness of the one in whom they trusted, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.